Welcome to week one on a four-part series called Spiritual Detox. And I want to welcome those who are listening online or on the IBN network. The past 8 weeks, we have focused on the giants of the faith, and we have listened to their life lessons as they gave us to help us run our race. Now, 6 weeks ago on a Wednesday night, the Holy Spirit spoke to us and said, two things are happening. Number one, in the heavenlies, a new page is turned. Number two tells us a new chapter has begun. And on that chapter, the Lord says, I hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared to them. So what I want to do today is to prepare ourselves for what God is going to do. So let's just pray. Lord, help me. You know I'm not able to preach without your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, anoint me. God, help me to take the words of heaven and communicate them into the understanding of man. I pray that the word would connect. Let all distractions be a minimum today and the altar shores your glory. And all God's people said. Now, I want to talk to you today about one word called detox. Detox means the removal of toxic substances from a living organism. Now, your life is a living organism. And you can have toxins that get in you other than things that you eat. There are toxins that will try to come into your life that will pollute who you are. Now, we are a tripartite being. We are spirit, we have a mind, and we have a body. And most of our lives we primarily focus on physical toxins. Yet there are toxins that get into your spirit, and there's toxins that get in your soul. So each week, we're going to speak upon it to help you detox the things that need to get out of your life. Now, all of us can have things in us that pollute us. Some of us think about, you know, if you're being detoxed, I don't have a problem with alcohol or illegal drugs. Well, thank God for that. I know you can detox that. But today I want you to think more broadly than that. And to do that, let's look at our theme verse. It's written to church people, 2 Corinthians 6:14. The Apostle Paul said, do not be yoked. Now, yoke means, in its little interpretation, a very intimate level of closeness. It's not that we're not to associate other people, but we're to be very cautious that we don't get too close. You see, we are to be a light in the world. We are to influence people. But if you get too close, whoa, hold on, time out, they begin to influence you. And it says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And then it gives us some questions. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? There's no commonality between righteousness and wickedness. It's kind of like oil and water. You stir it, it will not mix. Second question, or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Same answer. Verse 15, what harmony between Christ and Belial? Now remember, Belial is a word in the Bible that's used for the devil. And we know you can't mix Christ and the devil. What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? Verse 16, what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? Look at somebody and say, none. For we are the temple of the living God. Somebody asked me the other day, said, where's your church located? I said, East Calhoun Church. I said, well, most of it's in Calhoun, Rome, Cartersville, Adairsville. East Calhoun Church is in Dalton. Got LJ, Tennessee. We got some in Chattanooga and Cleveland. He said, what are you talking about? I said, that's the church. I said, oh, you want to find out where the building's at? I said, we got a sanctuary at 401 Peter Street, but that's not the church. The church are the people. And God wants to live in you. Say this, say, God wants to live in me. See, God wants to dwell in you. As God has said, then Paul quotes another Bible verse. He says, I will live with them and walk with them, and I will be their God, and there will be my people. And the question must be addressed then, how do you do it? The next verse tells us, 17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate. Here's what God is saying. I know that you that are saved have my presence in you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But now that you're saved, I want to intensify my presence in your life. I want your light to be so bright that it shines before men, that when people see you, they'll glorify me. But I can't if you're too yoked with other things. So what you and I must do these next 3 weeks is to take an inventory concerning what should not be in us. And that, my brother, that, my sister, is the question of the day. Now, if you forget everything I say today, don't forget this. Listen, the level of the presence of God that you have, that is in you and working through you, is all up to you. So, how close to the presence of God are you, and how close are you to the world? The Bible says, the Lord, touch no unclean thing, and I'll receive you. Verse 18. And I'll be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So the next chapter begins. See, when the Bible was written, there wasn't any chapters, and this is where they put a break, where there really shouldn't have been a break. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, since we have these promises, dear friend. Now, within every scripture that God gives us, remember the Word of God is breathing, it's living, it's alive. There is power innate within that scripture to produce what it is promised, what is believed and acted upon. And see, we have a promise from God that if we will separate ourselves, get closer to God in our lives, notice what it says. It said, let us purify ourselves. So here, once you get, when you got saved, he purified you, your soul, you're ready to go to heaven right then, amen? But you know what? We've still got a lot of baggage. We've still got, what could we say, toxins that we got to be detoxed. And God doesn't do that purifying of getting those toxins out. What happens? He tells us that now we are in a process of deciding one question. How close do we want to be to God? You see, some people want God, but not too close. Blow them away. But I want you to know that God wants to be so close to you that he is closer to you than your breath. He wants to be closer to you than the pulse in your veins. And that determining level, that determines the level that God can work in our lives. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. But how near do we draw? Let's go on. That is happening to you and happening to me. Somebody said, purify yourself from what? Look at the scripture. From everything that contaminates. That's what we're going to do in the next 3 weeks. And I want to warn you, the next 3 weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to show you how to remove from your body and spirit so we can perfect holiness in the fear of God. Somebody said, well, Pastor, how do I know I need this? Well, David said, and what David said, I believe we must say, Psalms 13:2. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? In other words, here's what he's saying. He's saying, I want to do this, but I keep thinking about this. If that is you, you're in need of a spiritual detox. See, this wrestling match that we have causes me to fight with myself, my flesh, and my spirit. And if you feel that way, you're in a detox. Notice the last part, you need a detox. The last part of verse 2 says, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? So in other words, if you think one thing, you know what you do, but you don't do it, it brings sorrow. Now listen, this is not from any man. This is a man who God says was a man after God's own heart. But he wrestled with the enemy and he was fighting with his life. So the key is, how did he do that? Glad you asked that question. Romans chapter 7 tells us, Paul, Listen to what Paul said. I keep doing things I know I should not do. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He said, every time I get in my mind, I want to do what's right. Whoop, I slip and I find myself doing the opposite. And I feel hopeless. And then he fusses himself out. He says, what a wretched man I am. Who can rescue me? Here he is, hopeless. That's where some of you this morning. I know what the Word of God says, but you know I can't. Then in Romans chapter 8 comes in the answer. I'm going to give you the answer. So today, what is the prescription to have a spiritual detox? Oh, I pray that none of you miss the next 3 weeks. It's going to be awesome. And look at how he gave it. Romans 8, 5. Listen to this. Those who live according to the sinful nature. Now, how do you live according to the sinful nature? You think about the wrong stuff. When you get saved, you're supposed to have the mind of Christ. Here's what I've learned. The Bible must be your brain. Anything that's contrary to the Word should be contrary to you. And if it's contrary to the Word, don't even think about it. I remember one time I was in construction years ago, the early part of my life, and I was in a DuPont plant over in Anderson, South Carolina, and I was building this little building in the plant, lot building, and I needed some help, and they sent one of the men over there to help me. And this man, when he found out I was a preacher, he kind of got up on a higher level, and he told me how holy he was. He was a deacon at the first church, and he told me how godly he was, which, you know, that's great. But it's all because of the blood of Jesus anyway. But we was taking some blocks off the scaffold, he was, and a block slipped off the scaffold and hit his toe. Well, needless to say, he did not say hallelujah. I never heard such cussing come out of a man's life in my life. And then he looked at me and I said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Say this with me. Say, you change your thoughts, you change your life. The reason this man said this is because he'd previously thought it. Never think anything you won't say, you don't want to say. Because if it's in there, it's going to come out. Those who live in accord with the sinful nature, that thinking about the wrong stuff, have their mind set on what nature desires. This means that if you and I are going to have an effective detox process, we got to get a plan, because input determines output. Say input, output. What are you putting in there? Now, when I came to church this morning, I could have, you know, stopped by and drunk a quart of liquor, case of beer. There's no telling what would have been an output this morning if I had. But see, you just don't do stuff like that. Somebody said, oh, everybody does it. No, your body is not your own. Say, I am the temple of God. I got to make sure what goes in, because what goes in is going to come out. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. So let's get help, you and I, this morning to have this to happen in your life. Verse 6. The mind of the sinful man is death. Every time you think something against the Word of God, that's a negative thought, that's of sin, it increases the death in your body, in your spirit, in your mind. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. And this is what I want you to have as pastor of this church. Therefore, brethren, we have an obligation. Somebody say obligation. This is what I must do. It's not a take. You know, a lot of time we go to Scripture and we say, I'll take that. Oh, I don't like that. See, a lot of times you come to Scripture and when the preacher reads the Scripture, he says, oh, my Lord, not that again. You know why? Because it gets in our ponderosa. And it plows us up. But what we got to do is we got to say, God, if you will give me the mental faculty to comprehend, discern your word, I'll do it. I was praying last night and I was concerned about several things. And the Lord spoke to me. You know what the Lord told me? He said, chill out. And I said, what are you saying? He says, the only thing I want you and all of my people to do is to hear and obey. And once you obey, it's in my hands. Now, if you fret and fuss about what happens then, well, you're just killing yourself for no reason. But if you hear and obey, then I'm responsible and I'll take care of everything else. Therefore, brethren, we have an obligation. This is what we must do. And this obligation is not to the sinful nature. Don't do what the sinful nature tells you to do. Because the sinful nature talks to us all the time. Don't live according to it, verse 12. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit, somebody say by the Spirit, you put to death. You know what that putting to death is? That's detox. If you go through your life and find an area of contamination, toxins, you need to take these toxins and get them out of your life. And what it'll do, and then the Bible says you'll live. You'll have real life. See, some of you are Christians, but you're not really living. You're just existing. You're just warming the chair and you're just sucking air. And I hate that for you because I was that way most of my life. But if you will live by the Spirit, what's my story by the Spirit? You can't do it on your own. But if you'll just say yes to God and no to the devil. Somebody say yes to God and no to the devil. You can live victory. Victorious. Now get your pens out. Don't just think it, ink it, as my dad used to say. He had 5,000 employees and he had a pad and 14 pens up here and he would just take notes all the time. So I want to give you three things. Somebody say three things. To take out of you and three things to put in for the next 6 days. 6 days? You can do 6 days. Because we're going to hit it again and jack it up a notch next week. And if you will try this and ask God to help you, the Spirit of God will help you for the next 6 days. Then you'll begin to experience abundant life, joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you'll feel so much better. You know why? You have gotten the poisons. Look at me. Poisons are out of your life. I can remember, we here at East Calhoun, we don't say a lot about it, but we practice prayer and fasting. And I know when I begin to have a protracted fast, generally the first day, it's tough. All I think about is cornbread and butter beans. The next day, my body says, banana pudding, banana pudding, banana pudding. And see, I suffer because I'm addicted to food. Strawberry shortcake will make my tongues actually slap my brains out. But if that third day, I'm just dying. But after several days, the detox processes, because I've drank a lot of water and I flushed that stuff out of me, and after several days, I begin to feel good. Because I've got the toxins out. Listen to me. Some of you have forgotten how good it is to be detoxed. I'm not talking about just physically. I'm talking about detox spiritually. So, everybody say, starve it. I never forget, I used to talk to Lester Cimarola. I used to see him every few months and talk to him. And I remember he would say, starve your doubts to death and let them die. Just let them die. And what do you starve? You ready? Three things. Number one is doubt. Everybody say, starve the doubt. Doubt is believing what the world says. Now, the other day, I was watching the news, and this was wrong, and that was wrong. I put it on this, and all they did was just run our leaders down to the ground, and this and that and other. And, you know, I thought, things seem hopeless. Then I read the Bible, and I thought, hey, it's good. God's got it in control. God has a different reality than the reality of the world. Everybody say, change your thoughts. You change your life. The problem in the church is we've got too much stinking thinking. You are today what you have thought in the past. And if you want to have life change, you got to think different today and you'll be different in the future. So get rid of doubt, starve it, and say this, say, I will trust what God says. I got to get doubt out so I can tune in with God. I remember a lady called me one time and she said, Everybody's talking about the radio program, is really excited about it on IBN Network 91.7. She didn't say that. She said, what's the reading? I said, you go 91.7 on the FM, on the dial. And the next week she called me and she said, you're not on the radio. I said, I've been for 20-something years. She said, you're not. She said, I went to 917 and couldn't find it. You know what happened? She was on, we're on 91.7 FM. She went on 917 AM. See, that's what's wrong today. You're thinking, please listen to me, and I say this in love. Your thinking has got you on AM where God's on FM. And you're doing what you think and seems right, but you're not making connection. And what you got to do today is you got to get doubt out so you can tune in with God. Say this, say, I will trust what God says. I don't care what I see, hear, touch, taste, or smell. But I am what I am because God's word says I have it. Therefore, it's mine. I don't care how things look. I don't care how things seem. It doesn't matter what people may say. If God said it, heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never, ever pass away. Oh, don't patty cake. Give God praise. Look at somebody and say, get the doubt out. Trust what God says. Well, some of you really fussed them out, didn't you? Let's go to number two. Some of us need it, like me. Starve out what? Negativity. You ask people, how you doing? Well, it's too hot. Too much rain. What's that horse on Winnie the Pooh? Eeyore. That's why some people are in church. I have people every week come to me and say, Pastor, I like to froze to death in church today. I said, well, where'd you sit? They sit right over here next to vent. I said, if you're going to sit next to this vent, bring you some, get you some long-handled drawers and put on like Ma used to say. I said, if you're too cold, sit in the middle. They said, well, could you adjust? No, we're not going to adjust it. We got to keep it. You sit in the middle. And some people say, I'm burning up. They're sitting right in the middle. I said, you need to ease over here next to the vent. Some people say, music's too loud. Preaching's too loud. And they're sitting way back in the corners. And I said, well, move in here. You're sitting right here in the middle of me. You need to move around and adjust yourself. Well, someone said, I can't understand what you're saying. I said, well, just move right in the front. Bam. Nah, duh. Just use a little common sense. I probably shouldn't say this, but a person came to me one time. I won't tell you what sex they are. They came to me one time, and they said, Pastor Reed, I've got a spiritual gift. I said, what is it? They said, I can stand in front of somebody and tell you everything that's wrong in their life. I said, that's not a spiritual gift. That's suspicion. Amen, Brother Reed. That's good preaching. I know. I'm going to preach it. Say this. Say, I will think what God thinks. If I'm going to get toxins out of my life, you ready for this? You ready for this? I've got to make the Bible my brain. Now, to do that, you got to read the Bible more than you watch Fox News or Gunsmoke. Huh? Or, how could we say it? The Young and the Restless, The Edge of Night, or As the Stomach Turns. Some of you will get that next week. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Say this, say, I will say what God says. Ephesians 4:29, do not use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful. Can you do that for 6 days? I remember we had 21 days of prayer and fasting, and one lady said, I'm not going to say anything negative for 21 days. After 3 days, she said, I repent. She said, I'd rather fast food than saying things negative. She'd been so ingrained in negativity when she began to see and discern her life, began to search her heart, she began to see that how wicked she had been. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those that hear them. Do your words encourage or discourage? Some people are like when you walk into a room, cut all the lights on. And then some people are like, they walk in a room and cut all the lights out. Are you one that turned the lights on or turned the lights out? Intentionally detoxify yourself for how many days? I can't hear you. Okay, number one, get the doubt out, the negativity out. Number three, get the sin out. Say this, say, I will turn to what God wants. Now let me tell you what sin means. Sin means you've missed the mark. So you're not at aiming in the wrong place. You got your focus off. And you got to repent. You know how we get so mad and fuss and cuss sometimes? Because we do not want to think what God is thinking. Sin pollutes our spirit. You know why we miss the mark? We aim at the wrong thing. You know why we got our mind in a million places and wondered what's wrong with God? I'm preaching now. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in you. Philippians 4:8, fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Can you for 6 days only think upon things that are true, honorable, pure, lovely, admirable? Romans 6:13 says, don't let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God. For 6 days, can you give yourself completely to God? And then let's bring it to close. And what three things are we to put in? That'll be for next week. No, I'm joking for you. What do you feed yourself? Number one, everybody say God's word. Put God's word to the test. I know a man told me one time, he said, I'm going to find out where God's real or not. He said, the Bible says bring the tithes and all from the storehouse. I can't even make ends meet, but I'm going to give God what's his. And he said, open the windows of heaven, rebuke the devil. He came back a month later and said, wow! Wow, what I've been missing. Do not doubt God. What are you trying to say, Brother Reed? Reign. The Bible will program you to God's reality. Try it. So I will what? Read God's word every day. For how many days? Psalms 1. Happy are those who reject the advice of evil men. Instead, they find their joy in obeying the law of the Lord. And they study it day and night. 6 days. Shut out worldly reasoning. Number two. Number one, God's word. Number two, I'll put in worship. I will listen to worship music only for 6 days. I won't listen to what I used to listen. You know what I used to listen to? Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. Now you know why I was so screwed up. It'll change your life. Detox. I remember there I was going down the road and somebody mashed the six on my button and here come on a song that took me back 40-something years ago, maybe 50 back. And I was thinking, had a flashback, and I said, cut that thing off. I don't mean to be hollering at you, but it's just the way it's coming out. I will not listen to the music. Detox. It'll change your life. Get close. And number three is prayer. I will, for 6 days, say pray every day. Now look what God dares you. 2 Chronicles 7:14, listen to this. If, that means it's up to you. It's not up to God. If my people, my God-defined people, respond by humbling themselves, praying, seeking my presence, and turning their back on wicked lies, I'll be there ready for you. I'll listen from heaven. I'll forgive your sin and restore your land to health. I'll turn your toxic life into healing and I'll bring the presence of God in your life. Let's all bow our heads. Pray this prayer. Say, Spirit of God, what are you saying to me? Spirit of God, speak to my heart. Here's what he, just keep staying in that mindset. Will you give him a chance to change you? Somebody said, I wish God would change you. Honey, God wants to change you much more than you wanted. But now we're going through spiritual detox. Let him show you what needs to be removed in you. Say this, say, search my heart. Know my ways. See any wicked way in me and lead me to the right way. Pray this prayer. Say, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Everybody pray, say, forgive me of my sin. Detox my spirit. Let the blood of Jesus remove all the sin in my life. Your word tells me in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and if I believe in my heart that you raised Christ from the dead, you said I shall be saved. So right now, I declare Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that you raised Christ from the dead. So right now, by your word, I'm forgiven, I am saved.